There we go.
What's going on? What's going on? Do you like my math teacher look?
Yes, yeah. I was gonna say your blazer is awesome. Mr. Zane.
You know how I do those hockey games? Well, yeah. Today was like a matinee game.
Oh, okay.
One game a year there's a matinee, so I did the game, and then I was late because I told you, I said, hey, I'm going to be late. I had to pick up a tux because Jackie's getting married Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
they look really happy. I saw those pictures. Yeah. They posted not too long ago.
Yeah. It's got a pretty good vibe to it. I feel great for them. You
really?
Know? No red flags. You know, that's all as a dad you do is you look for red flags.
That means he's hiding something major.
Phil and Mitch, I am excited because the day after Thanksgiving, that is November 25th.
Yeah.
At the world famous intersection.
World famous.
Yes. You guys are there where you have, oh my God. How many shows do you think you've performed there? Two dozen?
You know, probably not that many, honestly. You got to remember, like, we didn't come out. We didn't like hit Grand Rapids Radio and all that amazing magic when we met you. That was like 2011 or 12.
Yeah, you're right.
Since then, we've only played there once a year, and we haven't been there since 2018, I think, or maybe 19.
Do you
I think overall like 10?
Yeah,
12
I would say 10 or 12 times. Yeah, because there were a couple of years we did some other stuff.
Yeah, we opened up there, and
when but we man, it's like it's a you know it's like. It's a legendary spot for us, man.
It is.
It's just where it's all like, obviously, you know, West Michigan has wrapped up around us, and it just like it could not feel better as far as going home and just to look out to that sea of familiar faces. There is just nothing like it.
Now, I love talking about the things coming up because there's always new things happening with you guys because you've never stopped working. You've never, gotten complacent. You've never. You've never given up, and I love all that. But if we could go back when we first met, what time of year was it when we first met?
It was like February because I remember the first time we were supposed to come in and bring you breakfast at GRD. It was like an ice storm or a snowstorm, and everything got canceled.
Okay, so from then there was a period of time, and then JT he jumped on board. So then it started to build. Can you maybe take me through when all of these stores start opening up at a very, very rapid pace for you guys?
Yeah, it was. You know, we were living in that farmhouse in Hopkins and just kind of felt like we were out there by ourselves. You know, it was like if you had to go to Guitar Center, it was like an hour and a half trip into Grand Rapids, you know. Or we'd go into Wayland all the time to the local bars and hang a little bit. And I remember the first time we were telling people, well, we were a band named Wayland. We were in Wayland. I specifically remember we were at McDuff's little bar there on the corner, and people were like, "What? There's not a band named Wayland?" You know. And all of a sudden, like you said, I remember driving back out to that farmhouse in the dirt roads, and hearing "Shopping for a Savior" on WGRD, and it was like pull the car over because I couldn't drive. Like we were so excited, and like, oh, and then from then on, like. You know, hearing our cover of Fire Down Below, I think was the next thing. It went number one on GRD. And then Welcome to My Head. You know, and it just kept, then the song just kept coming out. Like, they just started playing, you know, I think it went on to Reno and Bloody Sunrise and Get a Little. And like, so then all of a sudden, like, we went on, like, I booked us on this little, like, 2-week tour. And we got this, I don't know if you remember that company, American RV.
I do. Chad Neff. I love Chad.
Yeah, Chad. God, really? What a blessing. He gave us his RV to use. I cannot believe that the rest of the company went along with it. But they gave us his RV. We started going, like, kind of just on our own, booking as much as we can. And when you guys put us on dates, we would go meet you down in Nashville.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I remember one time we went all the way to Maine, and we didn't even get to play.
That's right.
Play us in, play us out. The idea was, all right. We're going to wrap up the break, and then you guys would start playing. It was the live music as we got out of the segment. That would give you 5-6 minutes, play a song. The concept was great. I loved it. And in a lot of cases, it worked. It didn't work in all of them, but New Hampshire worked well. In Nashville, it worked well.
Yeah.
I mean, the fucking Dean getting sat on by Massive Mocha is
oh yeah,
right.
That's historic. That is incredible shit, man.
Oh,
my God. And then, you know, you going back to when you would hear the songs on the radio, it's I imagine for a band that's trying to make it happen and you hear your songs up, you know, side by side and the following song is whatever, Avenged Sevenfold or Five Finger Death Punch or whatever. You're right there with them. And it's like, fucking A, man. I bet that I can totally picture how that would have had a tremendous impact on you.
I mean, yeah, it's our dream come true. You know, like we've been working on this since we were kids, you know, Mitch and I, like even before we met each other, you know, like you're start to organize your life to, you know, start daydreaming about that moment. I remember when we used to just tell people, all we want to do is be a band in one of those little white vans in a trailer. You know, like we just want to get out and do it and have people that heard our music that weren't our parents, you know. And that was when that first started happening, because then all of a sudden everywhere we went, and not just Grand Rapids, but other radio markets around the country, like there were people there that knew our songs. And that was a major turning point, you know.
I was just reading an interview with legendary performer John Fogerty, and he was talking about how he still to this day learns new pick techniques and fundamental mechanics about guitar playing. Do you guys, you're still absorbing, you're still learning and growing as a band, aren't you?
I feel like it's changing all the time. I feel like our guitar playing is, it's still us, but yes, we pick up tips all the time. We're constantly looking for new ways to play and new chords and new, you know, structures and all that kind of stuff. Yes, I think as a musician, it's going to continue as it goes along.
That's the fun part. Yeah. Like, you know, we go out in Nashville a couple times a week and see players that are awesome and it's inspiring. And, you know, and you go home and learn. Like, we do new cover songs in the set all the time. So that's a great way to learn new material. And you learn, it's like, yeah, the musical learning is like, it's the fun part. Like, I'm sitting in my room learning a song is what I've been doing since I was in fourth grade. So that's like, that's the cool part, you know?
Yeah, well, you see some guy who, you know, has a cool sound. You ask him how he got it. So you go out and buy a new pedal, or you go out and buy a new amp, or you go out and buy a new acoustic guitar.
There's always new shit to buy.
There's just new stuff
that's the fun
to
part.
Integrate.
And I think it doesn't hurt, too, that the greatest music in the world is made right where you are. And they're light years ahead of any place else. And you could literally walk into, like you said, a bar and, oh, my God, you're influenced in amazing ways just by when you go out to have a drink.
Yeah, this is a really special place for that. And it's like not only that, but there's a music community. Everyone's excited to hang with each other and help each other in a way kind of like. Not really what I expected. It's cool.
A lot of cheerleaders, you know, if you come out with a good song, you know, that's recognized, you know, the people that the songwriters and the artists that are in town, if they're putting out good work, you know, the other songwriters and artists are patting them on the back and saying good job. And it's really cool experience.
We're hoping to put out a good song one of these days.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. And you're getting that a lot. You're running into luminaries in your industry, either behind the scenes or who are actually performing it, you're just doing your thing. And that is being the wonderful human beings. You are making friends with these people and all these doors are opening up for you, correct?
True.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, it feels good to, like, you know, we've been doing this for a while, so we'd like to say that we've kind of started to get this band to sound the way we've heard it in our heads and in our hearts for so long. And so when you can go out there and do it and get that kind of reaction like that, yeah, in a town like this, that feels really, it validates all that hard work and all that time we've sacrificed to put into this.
That's actually been one of the most satisfying things for me, is in this community of musicians and artists going out. You know, we're playing an acoustic show tomorrow just to keep the chops up. It's like an early show at 5:30 here in Nashville at a place called Live Oak. And whenever we play Live Oak, it's always a surprise, because we're going into play to make us better, you know, to make our live show better, to make the harmonies better, to make us play tighter as a band. And we always come off stage to like this incredible reception. And you'll always have a few people that have never heard about us or never heard of the band Wayland. And the things that they say are really surprising, I guess, that, like, you know, like, it's cool to know that just stepping up on stage with acoustic guitars, you can move someone, you can move someone's heart, you can move someone to say, wow, that was one of the coolest shows I've seen in a really long time. You guys belong in a stadium. And it's a neat feeling, especially when you're, right. It's happening here in Nashville.
Well, yeah. I mean, not only are the people who make the music skilled, the people who enjoy the music are skilled. They sense bullshit a mile away. And you obviously have passed that test with a very trained audience that knows a thing or two about quality.
That's why you do it anyways. You know, Mitch is in it more for the money, but I've always just been, you know, just that feeling of someone appreciating what you do is me all these years.
Hey, money doesn't hurt. I mean, come on. I've seen videos you guys on Facebook when you're like, something bad happens, like a wheel falls off a car and you're shooting videos on the side of the road. I'm like, oh, these fuckers, man, this is going to wind up in a song one day.
I mean, we've had every piece of every vehicle fall off on the road over the years.
Yeah.
There was a time there when it was like, we were always on the side of the road. It was hilarious.
I mean, there was one time we were in the van, or it was, I think it was in one of the buses, maybe the little mini bus. And this tire just like came beside the vehicle. It was rolling beside it. Like, look, there's a tire. Oh my gosh. And it was ours.
Oh, yeah.
It was like from the trailer.
It was picking up speed and passing you.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy
yes.
shit.
Yeah. And they were like, oh no. Yeah. We lost a tire.
Oh no. Have you ever thought about doing a song like about the masturbating bus driver?
We have not considered that as a songwriting topic. No. We wish him the best though.
Yes,
leave that alone. All right. Enough masturbating out of you.
We wish him all the wrist massages.
Yes. Can you give me some insight on I hope that when I say this, you won't say, well, we hate each other now. Guy Fieri.
Oh, that's no. Yeah, man.
Great dude.
Did we tell you
great
that guy. Story, how that all went down?
All I know is that he was a fan of you guys and he was offering his support.
Yeah. So actually the place we're playing tomorrow that Mitch was just talking about in Live Oak.
Yeah.
We had just gotten our new drummer Kai and we decided to go in there at like 10 o'clock at night on a Wednesday and just do a set to kind of try Kai out, see how he's going to be live. Did the show, you know, a couple of friends came out, some folks, and we didn't advertise it or anything. That was it. Just did the night.
Yeah.
The next day, Mitch and the guys were out at a Thai restaurant in town. And you could tell.
Yeah, this guy kind of stopped us. We were pulling out. We were pulling out of the parking lot. This guy stopped us, and my window was down in the van. He said, hey, a great show last night. And for some reason, it sounded kind of sarcastic to me. I thought that, like, the guy was messing with me and knew that we're in a van because we're all long hairs in a van, you know. And I said, well, where'd you see us play? And he said, I saw you guys play at Live Oak. You guys are Wayland. And we said, yeah, we are. He said, well, and we were basically stopping traffic at this point. And he says, well, can I get a picture with you guys? We said, yeah, sure. We get out of the van and we go take a picture. And it's a small group of people. It's like five or six people. And they ended up being the production team for Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. And we got to talking and became fast friends and said, well, why don't you guys come down tomorrow? And be on the show. You know, you can kind of see how the show works. Guy Fieri isn't going to be there, but, you know, we'll put you guys on camera and you guys can taste some stuff and we'll do some quick interviews and just get you on the network or whatever. And so we did that. We came down, did the show with them the next day, and everybody just kind of clicked, like the production team and Wayland just kind of clicked. We became really fast friends. We ended up going out to dinner that night. And then
they kind of were like, The main girl that like is the production chick, or if she's like, just like, you gotta meet Guy. I really want to figure this out. Like, he's got another show. We're gonna be in Tennessee in a couple months, and he's doing this all American road trip where him and all his friends go on this big road trip, and the last stop is in Nashville, and they want a band to play for it, but they've already got this band booked that he knows, but they're kind of being kind of weird. They're being kind of prima donnas about this whole thing. I'm going to try to slide you guys in on it.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Like, you know, whatever, we'll do it. they had heard about everything we've done with Free Beer and Hot Wings. So, you know,
of course. Really, yeah. I mean, that's a pedigree.
Yeah. So then, she ended up making it happen. And
well, it almost didn't happen.
Yeah, almost didn't. Oh yeah,
he got invited. Yeah, he got invited.
Was it Lollapalooza?
Yeah, or something like that.
Bonnaroo. Yeah, by Bonnaroo. By Stevie Nicks. She invited him, and his production crew leaned on him so hard.
They're like, no, wait, you have to see this band. You have to see this band. You have to see this band.
And so he turned down Stevie Nicks to come do this thing with us.
Oh my God.
And we're in this, like, it's a big room, like, it's called Martin's Barbecue, if anyone's, any of your listeners.
Famous barbecue place.
Yeah, from down in Nashville. And we, I don't know, we had like about an hour set or something. Mm-hmm. And we started playing, I think we were like three or four songs in. I specifically remember we didn't really make eye contact with him. Like, he comes in, everybody's freaking out about him, you know, and he doesn't
know. We just kind of stayed out of his way.
Yeah. So we start playing, and we see him watching. We watch him a little closer, Then all of a sudden, he just storms up on stage after like three or four songs. Gets us all in a huddle, and he's like,
"Stops the show!" Yeah, just stops the show.
And he's like, "This is amazing. Who are you guys? What are you doing?
Why haven't I heard of you before?"
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and brought us. You know, he's got a tequila company with Sammy Hagar, and so he brought tequila up, shots, and just come see me after the show. You know, so we played our set, and they all rocked out. It was really fun, and then we somehow finally got to him after the.
It wasn't long. Like, we got off the stage. And we
kind of shuffled over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, it's his world. You know, we're shooting a show there and stuff, and it's all his friends and family. So he's kind of the godfather over here.
Right.
Like, you know, and he kind of summoned us over and
– Summoned, you know, come.
Yeah.
Wayland, I demand thee.
Whatever he says, you know. If he sprays you with water, you just laugh. You're so funny.
We ended up talking for like, I think like 3 hours, and his crew said they've never seen him talk to anybody for so long. He went through each band member. He's like, oh my gosh, you remind me of this guy, and you're like this. And he was just like enthralled with the whole thing. He's like, everything about this works. What can I do? Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, let's help you out. Let's do this. And he had all kinds of ideas.
Yeah.
And he's come through. He's been in contact, and his people have been in contact, I guess, more than him. But he got us a sponsorship with Martin's Barbecue. We're doing a co-branded T-shirt with them.
You know, I hadn't heard this story, but I knew that this is how it was going. I've heard this with you and other people in who are big in whatever industry, mm-hmm. and this is your way. It's undeniable. People, you command that type of attention. So what started as random guy happens to see you at what was the place called?
Live Oak.
And then chance encounter to friends. Next thing you know, this is Forrest Gump type shit here, man. This is fucking cosmic. I love this.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast. The Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart Lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device. All right. Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like, they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap. Okay, you can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. EUFY official.com/videolock.
I would agree with that.
And it's even led to more. Like, I'm not going to really get into detail, but
yeah, for sure.
So his really big friends that, or some of his friends that were there, brought us then to some major industry folks who are actually coming to see us in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's what I love.
The Black Friday show even bigger for
us. That's all been part of it. And you've stuck to the fucking plan. Keep writing, keep your chin up, work your ass off, make your music, shake your hands, and just be you. And it's happening. I'm so happy to hear that. It really warms my heart. I love you guys so much. You know that? I really do.
We know that. And it has not been easy, you know, all the time. You've watched the struggles, you know, the losing our friends and band members and things like that, or like in just starting these resets and figuring it all out each time. It's been work. But we really love this. And honestly, there were probably maybe two times that I can think of that Mitch and I like really looked at each other.
Yeah.
And man, one time we were in Los Angeles, we were in the back of our tour bus. It was February in LA. So like it rains for like the whole month.
Yeah.
So in LA, when it rains, it's like shitty.
It's awful.
It's like no one knows how to drive. It's crappy. You know, it's like it's dirty. It's like it's depressing. That just added to it. You know, we're out there and we're just kind of like, what the hell are we going to do at this moment? We were trying to make a record and man, we got in the back of that bus. I'm like, we need to talk about this, dude. Like, are we going to keep going? Are we going to keep doing this? Like, you know, some of the close people have bailed on us. Like, what do we have here? Is it worth, you know, God, I swear every time that happens, we get like, I don't know how it, we get this influx of messages that day on our band page, whether it be Facebook or Instagram, one of them, but people like these testimonies of how this music has affected them or changed their life or saved their life or got them through a just horribly bad time. And I mean,
just stories that you cannot deny.
That's heavy. That's great.
It's like
if you were wondering why you were doing this, there's your reasons. And there's your, you know,
it would be selfish for us not to do it in that scenario. Cause like, it does mean something to people. And like, yes, we've sacrificed everything for this. We've sacrificed our personal lives, our nervous systems, you know, it's amazing. Like that moment, just those messages were like, last weekend, we just did three shows in Wisconsin and Illinois, and seeing the crowd and seeing what these songs affect. It's like, oh yeah, there's nothing like it. It is the best. That energy between the crowd and us is like, it's incredible. And it's all in the name of rock and roll, which is like the coolest thing ever, you know?
And it's, all these experiences have shown up time and again in your writing, I'm guessing, right? This has helped, all these experiences help you become a better writer.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And that's something you work at. Cause like, you know, in Nashville, people sit down and you write so many songs, you're writing with all kinds of people. And sometimes you're writing from someone else's story or perspective. Like if, let's say, someone else comes in to write with Mitch and I, you go along with that and you write a cool song, but the ones that really tend to resonate with our fan base, I notice, are the ones that come from our lives and our feelings.
When you write a song, and let's say a professional in your industry, you hand the song to them. You haven't spoken a bit of it, but they've got a 4 or 4.5 minute song or however long, it doesn't matter. Is the goal to get them to like formulate, all right, this is the story and I know exactly what's happening here, or they've formed an opinion about it? What are you hoping to get out of them? And I'm sure that the one thing you don't want is them to say, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, sometimes they do. And it's easy to say, okay, cool, that's not for them. And we'll just move on to another idea.
Yeah.
You know,
you have so many ideas floating around.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a songwrite with other people or just one other person, you get that idea that resonates with everybody and just go off of it. You know,
what I'm getting at is, what makes, if they have a certain response, like an emotional reaction, like they understand what you're getting at in that song, that's going to cut through the clutter when it comes to someone.
Yeah, and hopefully they can relate too. You know, it's like,
You know, if they read that song and they go, my God, you've been through some tough times, because they've gotten it. There's been a connection there emotionally through that song. That's a winner, right?
Yeah. Then you say, well, we probably shouldn't finish this one because we've already got it and we need to put your name on it.
Yeah, right. Holy shit. Yeah, I love hearing about the process.
Yeah. I mean, the best ones that I co-write come from, like, everyone sits down and we, like, especially if we don't have a idea. If just like, hey, what have you been up to lately? What's been on your mind? And you start a conversation. And then...
And usually while people are talking, someone is like picking on the guitar. Yeah. They're like kind of messing with something, you know, and it all the dots kind of get strung together through conversation and music. And then you're like, that's cool. Keep playing that. Keep singing this. And it just snowballs.
I want to see this. I want to be... In that moment, just watching and observing how this sausage is made. I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, you know? It's cool. I mean, it's funny because we've toyed with the idea of doing a songwriting session, like maybe on Twitch or something where someone could log in and watch. But it's like, God, it can be long and boring too. Yeah. We can sit around for 3 hours. And
sometimes there's like 5 or 10 minutes where everyone's just staring at the floor. No one's saying anything. You're like just trying to figure out what the next line is, and you can't get it.
And we've even had sessions where, like, gosh, oh yeah, we've had sessions where, like, it's not going anywhere. Like, maybe this person, the third person, is like hell bent on some idea that we don't really love. Which, you know, the etiquette is if someone doesn't love it, move on to the next. But sometimes people get hell bent on it, and I'm like, well, what are we gonna do? So you just sit there and finish some shitty song for 2 hours. You know, finish it so we can go home. Like, just say it's a song. You know?
Now you don't have to say what, but have you ever finished a song and you're like, this is shit, and then everyone loved it?
Not usually if we don't like it.
It doesn't get to anybody.
You know, I mean, because there has been ones that have grown on us.
Yeah.
Like, I'll walk out of the session being like, that's all right. And then
you start working it up. You're like, that's cool.
You hear you get like a sonic identity with the band and that energy behind it. And you're like, I mean, there's
surprised me.
Yeah. Even ones I've thought were like, okay, well, let's put it in the show, go try it live. And people are loving it. I'm like, all right. It's a song.
If you had a song that you all hated, but everyone loved, would you force yourself to like it?
Hmm.
I mean, everyone can't wait to hear your song, and you're like, God damn it, we hate this fucking song, you know, but it's going up the charts. It's awesome. People are, I mean, you gotta commit.
I think to us, it's music. So it's like, there's not much we can really hate about a song. Like, if you dive in and play it and you get good at playing it, well, like, I remember, you know, there was maybe a couple of years, we didn't play Welcome to My Head live in the show. I don't know why. We just weren't feeling it. Now it's one of my favorite songs that we do in the show. And of course the crowd goes nuts because it's our first big radio single. I don't know why we were playing it, but I freaking love that song. It's a blast. And it's cool. You know?
The band, when you're to a point in your career with your catalog, you're blending material from when we started this conversation to current material. Is that hard for you? Because the band's grown in quite some serious ways since all of that.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because I know a lot of people are wondering, like, why B93 is putting on the show in Grand Rapids, you know, instead of WGRD. And man, the people at B93, like, they're just great people, and they're, you know, they've known about the band forever. Obviously, you know, we're a rock and roll band, and some of the newer stuff we've been doing, you know, to us it's rock and roll for sure. But maybe it doesn't fit that format of rock radio. And so some country stations are playing it, which is awesome.
Yes.
We've always, you know, been a band that, like, we were always kind of the whole, like, genre idea of genre never really rubbed us well. It didn't, like, rub us right, because I mean, dude, like, I love rock and roll music all the way back to the first rock and roll music, to Little Richard and Elvis Presley, which, you know, Elvis stuff, that is country music, just played aggressively to create rock and roll. moving forward, like the Rolling Stones made so many country records, and you know, there's some Led Zeppelin going to California and Barnyard Stomp, and all those songs are, you know, like the country rock and roll line to me has always been a very thin,
very blurry,
yeah, thin veil. And so to us, our band rocks. Like, no matter what radio station's playing it or how it's being marketed, you know, like, the band, it's been so fun to go out over the last couple of months and play, because we've had that reaction from our fans. They say, they'll be like, you know, I was a little leery,
I was nervous
about the new music. But you know, after seeing the show, it's just Waylon. It's not country. It's just Waylon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, no, I know.
But it's hard to explain. People just need to come out and see it.
It is true, because it's not like you're going to be, the way a lot of country artists like Luke Bryan
it's not like that country thing. It's just rock and roll music to us, you know. It just isn't maybe as heavy as what might be the rock radio format right now. And like I said, like we've always loved country music, like the American roots music, whether it be bluegrass, blues, country. That's a huge part of what we do. And we've always made songs the way they were supposed to be, even on like Rinse and Repeat. If you look at songs like Follow.
Yeah, Rinse and Repeat is a great example.
Follow has mandolin and fiddle, pedal steel, Rabbit River Blues, mandolin all over it. Indiana Jones, full of pedal steel. So like these instruments, the roots music instruments, have always just kind of, they've been in part of our color palette. But yeah, it's like, for us, it's okay to be as heavy as Welcome to My Head or Ghost, and also do something like Indiana Jones.
I think it sounds awesome. But you're right. It could actually be played on any rock station or country station.
I mean, when Get a Little came out, that's been being played on country stations all over the states, like as their Friday song, you know, since 2015 now. Yeah, so. I love writing that line. I think it's cool. Like you write a song and then you build the song the way the song needs to be.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally get that. It makes perfect sense. Your band though, and music in general, has kind of almost moved on. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to get all these radio stations playing it, but the nature of the beast, you can't count on that anymore. However, since you have the ability to put out your own content in your various forms and you've built your audience already, you know, there's definitely a way to soldier on. And you've actually adapted. And because it's so difficult to get anything played on the radio these days, no longer can anybody really count on that, you know?
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, we've been really lucky, like you said, the Waylon Warriors, like our fan base that we've built over the years, we're very lucky that they trust us, honestly. Like, I know they've been a little leery with the new music, but the ones that have come out to the shows have seen.
Oh, it's fucking great.
It's literally the same old Waylon, better than you've ever seen us before.
That's true.
Like, that is how we feel.
All right. You know? Now, so on the 25th, that is Black Friday. If everybody goes to sectionlive.com, buy that ticket, send me a screenshot that you bought the ticket. You're in the drawing for pre-show sound check, meet and greet, photo op. Take me through a sound check. It's just you guys playing music and talking to the crowd and shit like that.
Well, it's not, we're not going to make anyone sit through our sound check because that can be loud and boring. But what we're doing for the VIP actually is in the afternoon after our sound check, we're inviting the VIPs to come to a separate room in the intersection called the Mint. And we have a separate stage set up and we're doing a storyteller's acoustic.
That's even better than what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's better than really the sound check.
Because sound check is just screaming and yelling and hitting drums.
Yeah, Mitch is stomping around, swearing at people.
But the person that wins, they get to come to that sound check.
Yeah, we are going to have a few people at the sound check. So like we're doing one giveaway. Everyone that buys a ticket, period, we are choosing a couple people to come to the sound check and have lunch with us. So there's so many ways to win cool stuff. So then
yeah,
like you're giving away a VIP, which is the pre-show thing where we play the acoustic concert. We're playing all songs that are not in the set that night. Some old stuff and some brand new stuff we're going to unveil. Unveiling.
It's an unveiling.
We love a good unveiling.
It's an unwrapping.
It's a good unveiling. And then we'll do pictures and photos and, or like I said, the same thing, but we'll hang.
We'll do pictures and photos.
Yeah. Pictures, photos, sketch art.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Maybe some cartooning.
Okay. I love that. Well, so when you do buy the tickets, send me a screenshot, eric@ericzaneshow.com, and then you're in the drawing.
And you're going to pick, you're going to choose this person, right?
I'm doing a random drawing of all the people.
Yeah, what you do, it's them plus one, so they can bring a friend.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have a friend. If you don't, no big deal.
Yeah.
We're not judging you if you show up alone.
Yeah.
Boy, man, I love talking to you guys. I could talk to you for hours. Seriously.
I miss you, man. I can't wait to see you.
I can't either. I cannot wait to see you. So it's
Yeah, the show we've got, like, we're excited. We've added
I think it's a perfect set. I think it's
We got a good encore all prepared. If people want to hear more, no pressure.
If we hit the downbeat of the last song and everyone turns around and runs out, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. And, you know, my favorite part about the intersection is after we play, you know, we always go out there, hang out with everybody, and sign and take pictures and photos. And you know, we open up the bar up front and
Nice.
And it gets nuts, you know.
Have you ever final question, I swear. Have you ever started to go down the road of working on a cover song and then you're like, fuck, I hate this. I don't like it at all.
Well, we don't hate it, but you realize it's not, because with a cover, you want something that's like going to show off what we do really well. And so sometimes you love a song, but then you get in there with the band and it's like, well, it's not really getting there, you know. So we just did, we did that Tom Petty, You Don't Know How It Feels. I love that song.
We started playing it. And we're like, this sucks.
I fell asleep halfway through it.
Well, that song's like 20 beats a minute.
It's slow. Boom. Yeah, boom, exactly.
Boom, slow. Boom,
I just thought it might be cool. You know, Mitch smoked a joint once, so she's relatable.
I always put that one experience.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all this stuff we talked about, show notes, look at it, absorb it, and... Guys, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so are we.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on, man. We are so excited to be home in West Michigan and just to be back at the intersection. We've been trying to do this for the last couple of years, and it's finally, we're able. We're here.
Oh.
And we have some surprises in the show.
We do.
We're pretty pumped about.
Okay. All right, boys, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. You. And give everybody my best, and I'll see you very soon.
Yeah, man. See you next week.
All right, boys.